And now, the KNBR Morning Show presents A Man of Keen Intellect.
Understanding what's happening in every situation of the game.
Of determination.
Running into somebody that's much bigger than you. You know, doing something to sacrifice yourself for the team.
Of brute strength.
Rather than risk missing a game, Lott had his finger chopped off.
And of class.
When you walk off that football field, does your opponent respect you?
This is the Ronnie Lott Show on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, Ronnie Lott, brought to us by Bass Electric, good energy, good life. Ronnie also brought to us by Putnam, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, GMC in Burlingame since 1965 at PutnamGM.com. As always, Ronnie, the James Brown tribute. Now, Paulie, I'm going to ask you, whatever sweet groove we're hearing right now, is this what's called the 4-for-4 shuffle? Because Ronnie last week picked all four winners in the games, including a Jets upset.
Yeah, four on the floor, 4-for-4. Ronnie Lott, maybe it's a 4 and a 2. We're talking to Ronnie Lott now, but Ronnie, yeah, nailed them all last week.
This sounds good, Ronnie. What do we got?
What do we got?
James Brown.
What do we got? Come on, man. Ain't it funky?
Ain't it funky. All right.
You got to go. Hey, look. You got to love the fact that we went 4-for-4, right?
Yep.
You got to love the fact that this week is going to be 6-for-6.
Oh, okay, man. Calling his shot. Okay.
He's getting his Rex Ryan on. Yeah.
And it's 6-for-6 because I think that when you look at both 6 seeds, they just have something. They have a little bit of what the Saints had last year. Mm. They have a little bit of just that momentum, and they have a little bit of just enough defense that disrupts and tries to create turnovers. And I think one of the things that you look at the game last week, and you know what? I was watching that game, and I remember playing the Rams, and I remember playing the Rams, and I remember playing them in the playoffs, and I remember sitting there watching a game afterwards, and Jim Everett was kind of, and he fell down a couple times, and he was ducking. I could have sworn Tom Brady reminded me of Jim Everett last week.
How about
that's
that?
That's the kind of feel that I saw in the pocket. I saw the same type of things going on in the pocket, and there's something there when you are able to get pressure, or you're able to do certain things that people don't see, and it just so happens that the guy that's one of the finalists for the Hall of Fame, Charles Haley, kind of brought that out. You know?
He has an effect on people, yeah.
I think that was one of the challenges there, but I think that the other thing is that you got to be able to do that. You got to be able to get those quarterbacks to feel that way. And there's something about just getting a quarterback to kind of get off his, you know, just off the axis where they're not really comfortable. And these two defenses, and really, you know, look, the Steelers defense, you know, they do the same thing. They're going to get after Sanchez. But I just think that right now, the way that they're playing and what they're doing, I'm going 6-for-6. And the other thing that I got to talk about is, I'm listening, you know, I'm like, where are the Niners? But then I thought about it. I was like, the way you get to 6-for-6, or the way you get to be the number one seed, or the way you get to win the West, is that your job right now is to go find the talent. And so I just started thinking about it, man. These guys are diving into the talent, and not only they're diving into the talent, they had something on TV on the NFL Network, who we would take. And they said that we would take the cornerback out of Nebraska. And so they're probably right now working that guy out. They're trying to figure out if that's the right guy. And so, you know, I'm excited for us even having that kind of thought, you know, that mindset of, man, hey, we gotta find the next Eric Wright. Eric Wright is the Revis.
Wow. Yeah, great call, man. 21,
so
man.
You got to have those guys, and you got to find, you know, the Fred Dean. You know, you got to find those guys. And so you got to get them now, though. You got to get them in the draft, and you got to find the next Patrick Willis. And, that kid, Taylor Mays, he's got to start playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he, so they got to get those guys, you know, and I think that they have the talent.
Ronnie, wouldn't you say that, I mean, for all of Bill's greatness of X's and O's, that maybe his number one skill was his eye for talent?
Oh, yeah. I was talking with somebody about Dwight Clark, and, you know, he kind of bumped into the guy. And when he bumped into him, he kind of didn't realize that, look, what he could find and what he had and what he saw. And so, you know, there's just certain things that Bill could say, oh, that he reminds me of that guy that played with me in the Bengals, and that guy was pretty good, and that guy Myers was pretty good. So, hey, that guy can do what I think he can do with the Niners. And not only did he do that, but he did even more than that, and that's Dwight Clark. But, yeah, he had a great eye for talent. And sometimes he also had a great eye to understand what was inside those guys. You know, he knew that Joe had a chip on his shoulder. He knew that certain guys brought certain characteristics. And then he also knew probably more than any other coach was, he also knew the guys that can complement the guys in the locker room and complement the guys that make the team even better. And so he didn't necessarily always take the best guy, but he took the guy that was going to make everybody better. And, you know, as you guys know, that's a hard thing, is to take a guy that's going to be a great cheerleader. Sometimes that might be just a great cheerleader, and he's going to make the team better because he just brings a certain characteristic in the locker room.
Totally, Ronnie. Totally. I hear you. Hey, I didn't want to let you go before we talked about Al Davis. He made an appearance. First time in a couple years. You played for the man. And he's 81 now, and they're so complex. You know what I mean? There's ways that people criticize him because he aired Tom Cable's dirty laundry like that. And it's like, whoa, do you do that to a man? And then there's other ways people praise him by saying, well, look at how sharp he is. He's still talking about his team. He's still so committed. And he's still so focused on the names. He knows all his players and all that. So what were your impressions of seeing Al up there? And, you know, is he still good for the Raiders?
Well, look, first of all, how can you say, is he still good? He is the Raiders.
I mean, that's exactly. There is no Raiders without Al, right?
Yeah, that's what I was like. Well, you know, you can't say that there's nothing other than he is the Raiders. And the reason that you say that is that the decisions come from him, and the reason they come from him is that that's his life. That's his body of work. What's amazing to me is that that's just what he is. Some people like it, some people don't like it, but what you got to understand is that is the race. And so I never waver from how he feels about what he likes about the game. And the thing that you got to realize is that that's just who he is. And I admire someone who is that committed. Whether you like it or not, whether decisions are right or wrong, you know, there we can look back at the history of people that have been maniacal about their causes and their purposes, and we will always debate them, but we will always know that it's real. And there's nothing more than the fact that he is a Raider. He's real. And so all the guys that played for him, all the guys that are around him, some like him, some don't, but they all know that he was a true and still is a true Raider. And so that's where all that comes from. Now the question is, like Hugh and the staff and everybody, you know, it's about the word greatness. It's about centering around a cause. And, of course, some of these sayings are sayings that he made famous years ago. Some of these sayings are sayings that he made famous years ago. Just win, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these sayings are sayings that are a way of his vernacular, and it's just who he is. So for me, when I look at it, I don't look at, I, you know what I try to look at? I try to look at all of the stories that get him to where he's at today. And if I have the opportunity in my life to have all of those great stories get me to where he's at, I think I'm going to say, Ronnie, you lived a pretty good life. Now, I would say that some of the things that he has done, I'm sure that are going to be different than the way I would say that I would get certain things done, but I would say that I lived, a great, great life, because can you imagine? You define an organization. We forget sometimes. He actually created a league.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, he created a league. I mean, lately I've been talking about the forefathers of the game of football, and some of it is centered around the understanding of safety and what would the forefathers think, because I'm a part of this committee with John Madden, and we're trying to be stewards of it. And you got to know that that guy right there was one of the forefathers, if not an author, of developing this league to what it is today. So when I hear him talk, I don't think about just what he's saying today. I think about all the things that got him to where he's at today, that sometimes things that he says might not necessarily be what I agree on,
mm-hmm.
but you got to understand that he's a Raider.
Good
and
stuff,
that's who he is.
Good stuff. Hey, Ronnie, we'll leave it at this. Are you going to be at the Super Bowl? Are you going to be down in Dallas?
Hey, man. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, guess what?
We're going to find you, Ronnie.
Lee Hammer, he unlocked the padlock. He's letting us out. So we're going to be down there, so we're going to find you.
You know what? I might find a way to come up with a way to raise some dollars for All-Stars Helping Kids in a Tipping Point. I might have one extra ticket. And just think if we just auction off one extra ticket.
Okay.
You know, so I'm gonna see if I can go find an extra ticket and see if we can get that done.
Awesome.
Because if you guys are gonna be down there, we gotta get a football fanatic down there, and maybe we auction it off. You know, we auction it off the Friday before the Super Bowl.
So next Friday.
On that Sunday.
Next Friday.
We'll get it done.
Or two Fridays from now. Yeah.
You know, Hammer, see, this is the kind of stuff Hammer comes up with. He comes up with the ideas.
Well, you're doing it now, Ronnie. Well, we'll tell you what. We'll meet next Friday. Well, next Friday we'll talk. We'll continue it on, and any cause for the Tipping Point is a good deal. All right, so Ronnie's got Green Bay and the Jets. He's going with the Pac-10 quarterbacks, Rodgers and Sanchez. And we'll see how you do. We'll see how you do, Ronnie.
Hey, man, I'm going to do great.
Yeah, he's got the hot hand, Ronnie.
Ain't it funky.
Ain't it funky, baby.
Guy, ain't it funky. We'll talk next week.